Hey everyone, this is Monica Jones.
And I'm Meg Boggs, and we're the new hosts of UA Sweat the Details, a podcast from Under Armour and iHeartRadio.
Each episode, Meg and I will talk to athletes, trainers, and experts who will give us insights into how our bodies and minds work together in training and competition.
It's a podcast by women for women, here to shake up the conversation about women in sport.
Listen to UA Sweat the Details on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hi, I am Rashawn McDonald, the host of Money Making Conversations podcast. Yes, I speak to celebrity CEOs and industry leaders, and yes, they do tell me the secrets to their success. And I help secure amazing guests on my show because I got relationships, including Tyler Perry, Stephen A. Smith, Lonnie Love, Cedric the Entertainer, Patti LaBelle, Nick Cannon, Angela Yee, and many more. This is Rashawn McDonald. Listen to Money Making Conversations on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I found a lot of tapes just in my apartment building's trash, you know, that last week I found a suitcase full of VHS and a working VCR.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Wow.
I found one tape in the same trash pile that was on top of a dusty stack of like soccer games taped off TV that was labeled in pencil, bunion surgery, like hand label, and both bunion and surgery were spelled wrong.
Hello and welcome to Bald Talk, the podcast where two bald comedians interview bald comedians, actors, directors, electricians, and now, Husky, the script says pots.
Pots?
I don't know what I meant when I wrote pots.
No, yeah, I know what you mean. You mean like inanimate objects that you cook in.
We're going to interview a pot at some point. That'll be really interesting.
That's going to be a good one, I think.
We're so good at this. This is going to be a giddy, weird one because it's the day after the inauguration.
Yeah.
We're all like fucking electrified. We'll interview anyone bald about being bald. I'm Charlie Sanders. I'm bald.
I'm Brian Husky. I am not a pot, but I am bald.
Brian, our guest today, is not fully bald, but he's well on his journey, or as you called it the other day that really cracked me up, he's on the path to bald.
The path.
Our guest is one of the founders of the Found Footage Festival, host of the weekly YouTube shows VCR Party and Saturday Morning Cartoons, and has worked on The Late Show with David Letterman, The Colbert Report, and has contributed to The Onion. He's also an elf enthusiast.
Mm.
Our guest is the balding Nick Pruer. Nick, welcome to Bald Talk.
Nick.
Thank you for having me, guys. excited to be here. Charlie, I've known forever. And Brian, yep. I first saw you in the Onion News Network stuff, and you were so funny in that. That I have always wanted to meet you. So
thanks,
man.
Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you. Yeah, when I found out you were one half of Found Footage, I was like, oh boy. I love that stuff. It's so amazing.
You know, one of the first videos I found, the Found Footage Festival, we collect VHS tapes, have been since 1991, my buddy Joe and I,
yeah.
Who has a full head of hair, by the way.
Yeah, Joe's got a full head of hair.
Is ineligible to be on this podcast.
He'll never be on this podcast.
Nope, not going to have it.
But one of the first videos I remember finding was at a Goodwill in my hometown. I found the Hair Club for Men video that you could just call the 1-800 number on for the infomercial. And I thought it was so funny and, you know, Cy Sperling, not just, the founder, but also a client.
Yes, that's right. He's also a member.
me and my middle school, high school friends all had a lot of laughs at that. Look at us now.
Yes.
Not laughing so hard.
Yes, youth.
You got an elf bedspread behind you, so things are going well.
Yeah, things are going great, Charlie. Thanks for asking.
Man, how are you feeling, Nick? I want to say it. It doesn't feel as fascist today.
It's the first Bald Talk we've recorded since that thing left and Joe Biden got sworn in yesterday. So it's the first one I feel absolute in. I know you asked our guest and now I'm interrupting to talk about myself, but I
<It's> rushing to the mic.
I am on such a roller coaster of emotions that right now I'm manic, but I'm sure I'll be something else soon. So sorry, anyway, yeah. Nick, please respond. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, no, you muted me, so I see you get that in. Yeah, no, I'm elated too. It feels great. It feels like we've just been in a nightmare for the last 4 years, and my jaw's been clenched since then. Ugh. And it kind of slightly released last night, so feels pretty good.
It's still. I was talking to somebody last night. Is like before we were in a burning building, and all the exits were sealed up, so we just had to run from floor to floor. You know.
Yeah.
And so now we're running outside and just watching the burning building, but at least we're not in the burning building. You know.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I mean, maybe this says something about my worldview, but I'm always waiting for the shoe to drop again, you know, and
oh,
so
completely.
I'm like, well, midterms are in 1 year, and, you know, the pendulum always swings back, so, you know.
It is definitely like, you know, that little windy one, there's like, yeah, we did it, going to enjoy these next 3 days, and then the pendulum swings are rough. I mean, I am getting, my endurance to them is getting less and less. It, you know, right now there are people, half of this country maybe is sort of feeling like we have felt for the past 4 years. It's just that part of our systemic racist country that just we got to figure out, because until we really like look at ourselves and figure out what's going on, it's just going to go back and forth and get worse. So let's let bald talk just heal everybody with our wisdom.
Yes, let's talk about being bald. Well, really quick though about the inauguration, I thought it was kind of apt that we were recording today because Biden had that hair floopy thing going on during his speech.
I mean, listen, he's bald. I don't. He can run, but he can't hide. He is bald, and yeah, there's definitely some will of the wisps going on the top of his head and stuff.
It was kind of like the cartoon Dagwood. You know, he kind of had that little tuft up in the back, and I just couldn't help but notice that in the wind.
Yeah,
a lot of odd hair moments during this campaign because there was the fly on Pence's hair, and then Biden had the floop.
Yeah, you and I were texting during it, and Garth Brooks came out, and when he took the hat off, I lost all focus for what was being said and the majesty of the whole experience. You're like, oh, he's had work done, right?
That looks like, yeah, he got fake hair at some point.
It looks like some fake hair is going on there.
Yeah, I noticed that too. And did you guys see the Garth Brooks documentary that came out just this past year?
Yeah, as much as I could bear, it was really uncomfortable.
It was so hilariously, I mean, he is just so embarrassing in so many ways. And
I imagine he's down home arrogant. Is that sort of like his vibe?
Yes, talented guy, but extremely pompous. Mm-hmm. And I actually have a VHS tape featuring him that's called Hunks with Hats. And he was considered a hunk, even though he's wearing like a Pittsburgh Steelers windbreaker in the video. But I thought there was this historic, you know, Joe Biden speech and inauguration, and then, ladies and gentlemen, Garth Brooks. And I just couldn't help but laugh. It just seemed so funny to me.
And the progression was Lady Gaga, Jennifer Lopez, Garth Brooks. It just was,
yeah, I know.
And now, Larry the Cable Guy.
That was his attempt at unity. I think that's him sort of like, hey.
No. Oh, I see. Throwing a butt. Yeah, okay. Copy that.
And then after him, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Gaines. You know, it's his,
he comes out as his alter ego.
Emo character comes out.
Oh, man. I did notice Kamala Harris's main Secret Service dude, full on baldy.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
There were a couple of Secret Service dudes who were big old balds. Like then they had big troughs in the back, the kind of like male pattern ring
right.
that really dipped down deep. You know,
yeah.
I was like, yeah, you gotta shave that. And then there was a lingering shot, I think, of Obama talking to somebody, or maybe it was Hillary Clinton. I can't remember, but they were talking to a very tall, very bald man.
Mm. The mysterious bald man. We'll never know who that was.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, what is a bald man doing in government? What's going on here? What is happening?
I mean, the Bernie Sanders, his that meme is going around everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Probably is gone by the time this releases. But it's another man with a... Would you describe it as a comb over?
Yeah, like a pretty bad comb over.
Yeah, and it's not even over. It's kind of like forward or just a
comb across.
Yeah, comb through.
I know you guys have talked about Giuliani before, and it reminded me of a time because I think he had the same thing that my ex's dad had, which was he was balding and, you know, kind of had the ring, but then he would grow out one side really long and sweep it over. And I never knew that's how he did it, but one time we went to Arizona and went swimming in a hotel pool, and it just that side was dangling down on his shoulder, but the other side was completely shaved tight, and I was like, oh, that's the secret.
Yeah. That must have looked really weird.
I know. What do you do? I mean, kind of God bless him for having the, you know, the balls to to go swimming or whatever. But would what else would you put on, like a
put a swim cap on or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if he was self-conscious about, you know, kind of swooping it over, because I am, when I get out of a pool, I am kind of conscious about where my hair is mm-hmm. laying, and I'll kind of try to, I guess, muss it in just the right way that it doesn't look like I'm as bald as I am. But yeah, it was very strange to see. It was almost like an alien, like, you know, having one side grown out. It was a bold choice.
Totally.
Suddenly it starts swimming and dragging him around the pool.
That's what it felt like would happen. He was in the Star Wars dumpster room and the snake was swimming.
Yeah. I say, Nick, anytime you get out of the pool, you just have to do the sexy swimsuit exit.
Oh, this.
You come up. Yeah. And it's like luxuriously just drape your hands across your head and it all swoops it back.
That's what it feels like in my head. But
yeah.
I don't know if that's what it reads as. It's not quite Phoebe Cates emerging from a pool.
Yeah, that's it.
So, Nick, where are you on the baldness scale at this point?
Well, I mean, I can show you guys. You probably won't see it on the podcast.
Yeah.
I say you probably won't see it. You won't see it, but we're on Zoom now. So you can kind of see how it's pretty deep.
It's receding.
Yeah, the mic is picking up some receding hair.
Yeah, okay, good. It's basically very thin, wispy hair.
Yeah.
And it's receding, and I keep a part in it, which has grown more and more, and kind of, you know, comb it over. And then the first time I noticed I think I was balding was in, I think, around in the late 90s, like 98 99. I got photos back from getting developed from Christmas, and I was bending down to play with my niece, and I saw a big ring on my back of my head, and I was like, "Oh, it's happening!"
Oh, wow, that's a good first notice story, because you were playing with your niece. It was something nice. We've had like one person saw their first bald spot in like the security camera of a bank or something.
Yeah,
we've had many different ones.
The humiliation of that, yeah. But it was the kind of thing where the flash goes off and you see more than you want to see.
Yeah,
oh my God. Totally. Yeah, and that moment is that innocent moment is forever tainted. And now you probably have some trauma, you know, associated with...
Oh, I hate my niece because of that as a result. Can't stand her.
Get the fuck away from me.
You will never bend down to play with your niece ever again in any context.
I have so many stories like that, though, with, like, you know, finding the hair club thing and laughing at it and thinking it was funny. Mm-hmm. And I really trace my baldingness back to college. I was an RA in college, and my buddy Joe and I, who I do the Found Footage Festival with, we were in a dorm room together, and we thought it would be funny if the incoming freshman just met the two guys, the RA and his roommate, and they both had perms and mustaches. So we just thought, we never explained that we were doing it as a joke, we just thought that's how they will always know us. So we got somebody that we knew on our floor do home perms, and then we just shaved, you know, big, thick mustaches.
That's
and
amazing.
Just greeted the incoming freshman like that. And I just think my hair was like, oh, you're going to do a joke thing? You think it's funny to just play around with having a perm as a joke, huh? And ever since then, I noticed more hair in the shower.
Oh.
And it could just be that was the age I was at. It was going to happen anyway. But I feel like the ironic perm may have spurred my accelerating baldness.
Wow. Either that or you just shocked the follicle system. And again, this is all based on science.
Right.
But yeah, looking at your hair, it's very much like mine used to be, or still mm-hmm. is. But when I had it, it's pretty wispy, kind of thin. And when I started to lose it, I grew it out in high school. And then, you know, it's sort of like the Biden thing. There would just be like a good wind would just sort of reveal like the lie that I was living a little bit.
That's my problem, too. And if I don't shower, the thinning hair just gets matted with whatever grease that your hair, your scalp forms.
Scalp emissions.
So it just kind of is plastered to your scalp emissions. <Ugh.
laughs> We're changing the name of the podcast to Scalp Emissions.
I like it. Yeah, and so it gets plastered and then it reveals more. So my technique now is to get regular haircuts, or at least pre-pandemic, that was it, to get short haircuts, and that reveals it less because it's not as swooping. It's not quite as dramatic of a widow's peak.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't do that now in the pandemic. I'm getting fewer haircuts. And so, now it's just kind of, it's what it is. And I've really leaned into the hat thing.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't, have you pondered the shave or anything? You got a good shaped head, seems like.
I did once. I went through a breakup and I decided I didn't go completely razor mm-hmm. like Charlie, I know you've talked about. I went kind of crew cut, not crew cut, but just really buzzed. As short as you could get with a buzz.
Yeah.
And I looked at photos of her recently, and I just look, first of all, I look like a skeleton, I think. I just really brings out my skeletal features.
Yeah.
And I look like a kind of guy who might know a little bit too much about German history, you know, like a little guy who kind of like, wow, you know a lot about that era, huh?
King Frederick.
Yeah. And so that's why I've been reluctant to go full bald, because I am a sort of, you know, Norwegian, very, you know, have those kind of Nordic features. And I don't know that that being bald would look good on me. Yeah. But
that skeleton sure knows a lot about German history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what people think when they look at me.
Yeah, I definitely, I have a topography to my head that I'm self-conscious of like sort of like knowing where the knots and the twist and the little, where the bones sort of form together when I have a soft spot and everything.
I can feel the ridges too. And so I do wonder how it will look like. And you know, if you do Bic it, as you call it, Charlie, like, I do wonder, do you have to, like, get into the ridge? Like, how does that work?
I'm really lucky in that I don't really have much of a ridge, so I'm pretty smooth, so I can Bic it pretty easily. But yeah, you guys would probably have a tougher time because you'd have to hit the contours and stuff like that.
Well, that's when you need nanorobots. And
exactly, yes.
And it's worth the investment, I think, if you really want a smooth shave.
Did you hear that episode, Nick, Dr. Rome?
No, I haven't heard that one yet.
He's a hair restoration surgeon, and he literally has a robot, like in that Hugh Jackman movie, the name of which I can't remember now, and couldn't remember then when I was trying to reference it. But he, like, moves the robot around. Like, he's in, like, a little chamber doing it, and then the robot is on your head, like, putting in hairs and shit.
That's a real thing. Okay, that's a real thing. I have to listen to this episode.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the solution.
Yeah. You could try doing robot technology next time you're in LA.
Yeah. It's a big investment, apparently. He's a Beverly Hills doctor.
It is in Beverly Hills.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Not in Queens, New York, where I am. But
I mean, I'm sure you could find something online. Amazon probably has something equivalent, but you would be covered in scars very quickly.
Well, as somebody is contemplating perhaps doing the shave in the future, where do you... Because I would keep my beard. I've had a beard since high school, and I just identify as a bearded man, like you, Husky. Mm-hmm. But where do you, I guess, stop the shave? That's my question. Like, is it above the ears? Is it right at the ear line?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know, because I shave my face also at the same time when I do it. So I've never contemplated that. But
it seems like people kind of go to... What is this? Just
the ear line.
The ear line, just at the top of your cheekbone, maybe?
Yeah.
Right.
But I think the move would be to go on one side, you go top of the cheekbone, and on the other side, it's like halfway down your cheek, to be cool.
That's how it would actually look, but yeah.
Yeah. And then you're sort of doing that comb-over version, but with your shave.
Exactly, yeah.
Then you grow a goatee, and you fold it over the side of your head.
Yeah, I remember reading a GQ article that said with a beard, you're not supposed to just do a line. You know, that's a novice mistake. It's to just shave a clean line where your beard ends.
Oh, really?
It's to
taper it
to graduate that. And that's always stuck with me, and I've done that. And I wonder if you do that with the top of your beard as well when you have no
hair.
Yeah,
I think so. Otherwise, you look like an action figure with, like, click-on beard options.
Yeah. Well, future bearded bald guests, I would be curious where they start their burns, how they keep those even.
But that's it also depends on which, like, are you reading 1970s GQs or more recent? Because the hard beard line was for sure, like, a 70s thing. You know what I mean? It just felt like it was
just
a definitive line and stuff.
Yeah, and if you don't have a strong chin either, I think having that create one doesn't work. It almost accentuates your weak chin more.
That's what Donnie J had, that weak chin hiding piece of crap.
Yeah, and so the tapered line, I think, is the way you got to go with that as well.
I bet we don't have many Trump listeners.
I don't think so. I guess not. I don't know, though.
I don't know if there's many podcast crossovers.
Yeah.
I don't know if a lot of Trump listeners are going to buy, like, Blue Apron.
Yeah. I want to try cooking it myself. Talking bald,
This episode is brought to you by FanDuel. Football is back. And the best bet you can make is downloading the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It doesn't matter if you're new to gambling or an old pro, FanDuel has something for everyone. And as an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you know your bets are safe. There's also never been a better time to use FanDuel, because right now, you'll get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. You can even turn a small wager into a big payday with a same-game parlay bet.
Just sign up with the promo code Spotify to place your first bet risk-free on FanDuel Sportsbook. Download FanDuel today. 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that Smokey's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when there are parched or windy conditions out there, you gotta be extra careful with things like burning yard waste. After all, wildfires can start anywhere, even in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Strawberry Spring, based on a short story by Stephen King.
Is someone there? I can't see you through the fog. Oh, it's you, thank God. Oh, please! No, 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 don't! Help!
Now, there was a murder on the campus of New Sharon College. Sources close to the investigation tell us that it was a female co-ed, late teens to early 20s. We'll have more.
Hello?
Henry, have you heard the news?
Yeah, just now on the radio.
There was a murder on campus. It has all the signs.
Are you telling me?
We can't be sure, but as of right now, it looks like Spring-Heeled Jack is back.
Strawberry Spring, starring Garrett Hedlund and Milo Ventimiglia. Produced by Audio Up Media and iHeartRadio. Listen to Strawberry Spring on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Only on Ball Talk.
So, Charlie, were the hats, you know, because I've known you as a hat guy too, but was that to cover up? You've never really had any shame about, you know, your baldness or your thinning. I know it was a sudden thing.
It was sudden. And I know I've never had any shame about it. I like hats. I just think they're kind of a fun way of expressing myself. And then also for the sun, like anytime I'm going to be in the sun, I need to have a hat on. So I kind of just got into it.
Yeah.
You know,
and Brian, what kind of hat do you wear if you're going hiking or something?
I like what you have.
Baseball type.
Yeah. Hat. And more and more I probably should not wear the vented kind in the back.
Oh yeah, because it does. Yeah, it gets through back there.
Yeah,
for sure.
So I slather that part a lot.
Yeah,
but,
same.
Otherwise, it's just if I don't, I have this one hat that's just like kind of baseball cappy, like full cover, and by the end of it, it just sort of feels like I'm just wearing one of our interviewed guests a pot on my head, and it just it gets all sweaty.
Oh, the crispiness. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, because the other option is to kind of go. I'm sure I'll get to this point, but like wear one of those sort of like sun hats with like little vintage.
What about a Robin Hood hat?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's going to provide a weird sort of triangular sort of protection to the front. Only protect your nose.
You'll get tanned only on the sides of
your face. You'll have like these two triangles on your cheeks, which is really bizarre.
For hats, I always just liked the way I looked in a hat better. And then I remember being in Los Angeles and being like, I wonder if I'd look decent in one of those newsy caps, you know, a shoeshine boy type cap.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought one and I was like, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
And so I started wearing those and I went through like a 10-year period of only wearing newsy caps.
I remember your newsy cap phase.
Cool. And that coincided with my being more and more self-conscious about my balding. And it kind of became a Dumbo's feather kind of thing. Like, I was, you know, I went through this breakup and was single and going out, and I would wear the newsy caps. But I remember where it was complicated is when you'd be going on a first date in the winter.
Oh, yeah.
And I would never reveal the fact that I was balding on a first date. You got to put your best foot forward. So I remember one time I sort of panicked. I left the house thinking, I'm just not going to wear a hat on this first date. You know, like, screw it. Then I got cold feet before the date. I got there early. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to run to one of those hat places on St. Mark's Place and East Village.
I was hoping you'd say you went into like a CVS to just grab whatever.
Yes. Well, that's kind of what it was. I went to I was wearing like a stocking cap, like a winter, you know, warm hat to stay warm. It was really cold. I think it was February. But then, you know, as soon as you take one of those off, that's the enemy of a thinning hair guy because you're just total frizz or matted. And like, you know, I remember taking it off as a test before the date and be like, I can't go in like this. So I bought a newsy cap that had fold down flaps, ear flaps, like, you know, you'd wear if you were a hunter with one of those, like, you know, wearing it with long johns with the butt flap in the back, you know. But it was just a weird combination of a thing that covered up your ears but also was a newsy cap. And I got in and I kept the flaps down for the whole date.
Oh, wow.
That's a big move.
You definitely put your best foot forward on that one. Completely.
I put my worst flaps forward on that one. And then I ended up dating the person for a few months, and she's like, yeah, I did think that was weird.
I just assumed you had burned ears or something. You were saying, but...
Yeah, it is weird. So even at weddings now, I will sometimes find a way to wear like a more formal hat.
Mm.
It's a deep insecurity, and that's why this show has been very interesting to work through some issues I've had.
Yeah, I mean, I was just listening to one we recorded a while back, and we were talking about the hat prison, like being in a hat prison.
Oh, yeah.
And you definitely don't want to get to that point where it's sort of like, because there's already so many things to just be.
Yeah, to feel insecure.
Yeah,
about.
To be distracted by and sort of take yourself out of the moment and stuff. So.
Yeah, I mean, as a former fat kid, I'm still very insecure about almost every part of my body, and so the hair is the least of it, really.
I had the same thing. I thought I was fat when I was little. I was just dumpy, but I think I literally some kid, like, you know.
Stephen Klein.
And that is Stephen Klein.
That's who outed his baldness neck in high school.
Oh, yes, I remember hearing that story. Yeah. Yes,
I guarantee he said something about me having some ripples and some rolls. but the same thing.
Yeah, I remember this kid, Jason Heinsroth, gave me a titty twister, and that's when I knew that I was like, oh, okay,
yeah,
I have titties. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a guy I was friends with, and yet I was sort of like, yeah, I was made to feel insecure by him as well. So yeah, I just have a whole host. I mean, in terms of the podcast, Charlie, you and I have been friends for a long time in real life, but I'm more of a Brian head in terms of identifying.
yes,
with,
absolutely. Yeah, that's okay. I forgive
insecureness.
You. We can still be friends.
No, but it is interesting because I just remember even like when I was single and Charlie, you were in New York and be, you know, talking about like, how do you do it? I don't know how you have such confidence because, you know, I was like trying to get tips about how to date and being confident in your own body and all this stuff. And it's an interesting dichotomy.
It is. Yeah.
It is like cumulatively just listening to the past episodes and stuff. I'm just like, women do not care. Like, and it is the barometer is like, if they do, then screw them or they're not the right person for you. You know,
the most attractive quality is confidence.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And I the reason I attribute Charlie to you having confidence is sort of because of your family history.
Oh yeah, totally.
And I feel like you did kind of have to pull yourself up by your boots. Straps and like carve out your own path. And I was very sheltered growing up and sort of coddled and told I was the greatest and talented and gifted and all this stuff.
I never heard that from my parents.
And then once the real world came crashing down and I wasn't sort of the big fish in the pond anymore, I was like, oh God, I have no confidence. You know?
I had confidence in my basement, but.
right. But yeah, you grew up going to traumatic funerals and, you know, like it was a very different upbringing.
Yeah. A drunk dad will give you some confidence if you got to survive it.
Yeah.
Hearing you sort of like identify with my pattern and stuff, I would just say like, just play with like different versions of it and see, you know, especially during pandemic, because who cares? You know, it really is like, but you don't give off a Nazi vibe just initially.
No, not initially.
Oh, good. Once you get to know me though.
But if you get that haircut and you start to sort of change your political affiliation or your belief system, then maybe don't go with it.
Yeah, I think I could do it. I think the beard helps too.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe I will. I've definitely, I'm due for a haircut. My girlfriend recently said, you know, you have a rat tail.
Because
it's kind of growing out in weird, wispy flaps in the back, you know? And so I do have to go in, and I've been getting shorter and shorter cuts. So I think I might be gradually getting to that point.
Yeah, I had one haircut in the past 10 months, and it's, you know, it's starting to kind of head back to the
you're getting back to wizard land.
Back to the highway drifter. It's coming back.
But your girlfriend likes that look, right, Brian?
She does.
She's more of a...
Yeah. I mean, she likes... That's cool, then. I was like, how would you feel if I shaved my head? She's like, great. It's fine. I'm like, okay.
Oh, cool. That's nice.
That's why I love you. Yeah.
Charlie, has Camille looked at pictures of you with full hair?
She must have at some point. I'm sure she has at some point. I can't remember what her reaction was, though.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Yeah, she's seen me with hair in something, a video or something.
I was recently looking at this picture.
Whoa, look at that.
That's for the podcast listeners, when Charlie helped me move to New York in 1999, I think.
Yeah, like 8 or 9.
You guys both have great posture in this picture. That's my first takeaway.
We're getting it over. I'm smoking a cigarette.
Oh, you are? Yeah. I just noticed you. So we're slumped over in Central Park.
We look
and
tired.
And we're exhausted from moving. We're both skinny, and we're both have full heads of hair.
Yeah, that's
you're
crazy.
You're both wearing white socks and your shoes and shorts.
White tube socks.
Seasoned New Yorkers right there, born and
killer,
bred.
Killer cargo shorts, too.
Yeah, it kind of looks like you just bought some shitty weed in Washington Square Park. Come to smoke it.
We couldn't look more like from Minnesota.
I know. These guys just got off the bus.
Yeah. I my partner in comedy, Joe, often will quiz me from people in these VHS tapes we find from the 80s and 90s. And they'll be like, would you trade heads of hair with him? And it's always some guy with like hair that's like looks like cotton candy. You know, it's like there's a lot of it, but it's very wispy.
Yeah.
Or, you know, people with very odd like the German musician Heino or something like that. Like it just... people sort of helmets and like, would you trade heads of hair? And it's sort of similar to your game of would you, you know, if you could regrow your hair, would you?
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely would, just because I still haven't overcome my insecurities.
Oh, man. I used to get so mad when I was sort of like, you know, early losing it. I would get so pissed off with people who had a great head of hair and just would end up with some ridiculous, terrible haircut choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, you idiots. You're like, you're a rich person building a McMansion when you could buy something beautiful. You know what I mean?
I know. You're wasting it.
Yeah.
And I always say that people, you know, want to know what I look like. It's sort of like 90s era Ron Howard.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
a little
totally.
Bit. But I look at Ron Howard now, and I'm like, that's the future of what my hair will be.
And that's a hat prison. You know,
he is in hat prison, for sure.
And to be a high-profile hat prisoner is...
it's a disservice to society.
Yeah, I know.
I know. For Halloween, this you know, quarantine Halloween, I'm just doing nothing, but I thought I should at least get dressed up, but didn't feel like making the effort. So I just ordered from Lids just a black hat that said Backdraft on it and put that on with a headset, put some headphones around my neck and wore a sport coat over a t-shirt and went as 1991 Ron Howard. And, you know, it was lazy. But
you went from one room to another for your Halloween. That was Halloween.
That was it. Yeah. I mean, there was no celebration apart from a photo on social media. But yeah. And my grandfather on my mom's side, I know you've talked about it, but did have reddish wisps that sort of had a very sort of skeletal head too, and you just sort of comb it over. So I don't feel like I should get to that point. I feel like it does have to be shaved before then.
Yeah, at some point it's better to just accept it and roll with it than to continue hiding it to where it gets ridiculous.
Yeah. So maybe there'll be a coming out party.
On Zoom, we'll have a Zoom coming out party.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioning grandfather. I just realized my grandfather was bald, and I never clocked it as a kid until one time he didn't get a haircut for a while. And I was like, oh, wait, he doesn't have much hair. But he had like one of those teeny tiny sort of just like barely hanging on rings around the side.
The pencil mustache of a ring.
Yeah, so he has like a pedophile mustache around his side of his head. But he let it go one time for some reason. I was like, oh my God, he's bald. And that was the only signifier to sort of like tip me off. I was a very unobservant child, apparently. I think that's the big takeaway.
What have you guys learned about baldness, bald products, and about yourselves since you started this show? What are the big takeaways so far?
Well, products. Karamo gave us some products. Oh, he's totally bicked with a beard. So if we ever have Karamo back on, we could ask him about how you tear it out or whatever.
Right.
And I'm sure Karamo's dying to come back on. He's probably talking to his agent right now, being like, why have those guys asked?
He got the ball talk boost from that.
So he gave us some products, which were great. And I've been using those. So I'd never known you could do I've done like lotion and stuff, but they make stuff that's like, it's like facial fuel from Kiehl's, but it's for your head. Karamo does that. So that's something I learned I can do.
I would love that. I love mint tingly. Like I have the facial fuel from Kiehl's, but if there is a head version of that, I think I would dig it.
There is.
Yeah. I mean, they're basically just like, you got more skin, take care of it. You know, you got more surface area to kind of protect, and more is exposed.
Mm-hmm. My ex, the same one who had the dad with his long wisp, her stepmom had alopecia. And I know you had a guest who had that. It's a woman who had alopecia, and she had like, she kind of made the most of it because she was from the South and decided to buy the biggest Dolly Parton wigs she could. And so she would have them all styled up on a, you know, mannequin
head. Yeah, a
little fake head, yeah. And had like three of them that she could just put on in the morning and just look completely dolled up and ready to go.
Wow.
And I do remember, though, one time she came back from, she worked at the post office. That's how she met my girlfriend's, at the time's, dad. And it was like really hot at this post office in California, and she was sorting mail, and it was so hot in there, no air conditioning. So she just took off her wig and set it down to the side so she could not sweat her ass off. And the other like postal worker guys were just openly making fun of her.
Yeah.
Oh no.
And she was like, yeah, she's really hurt by that. I mean, I think you could probably tell because she, you know, she would draw on her eyebrows. Uh-huh. And so if you really looked, you might tell she was wearing a wig or had alopecia. Mm-hmm. But it was just sort of normal. Like, once I got to know her, like, as soon as she got home from work or wasn't out in public, she'd take off the wig.
Right.
And just, you know, you got totally used to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But for women, I think it's such, you know, you guys have talked about it, but there's such more of a stigma to it, you know. As guys, to be self-conscious of it, losing your hair, it is such the least...
Oh, totally.
You know, your worries. It does not to invalidate your feelings, but it's, you know, women have to go through a lot more.
Totally. Yeah, I couldn't tell if you were circling whether you should start wearing a wig or not, like, you know.
I wouldn't judge you if you showed up in a Dolly Parton wig.
Yeah, I mean, if you went with a Dolly wig, that'd be rocking.
But you'd have to find a red one.
Yeah. You know, the weird thing is, I remember when I first moved to New York, I got a job working at a Blockbuster. I know, Charlie, you worked at TLA,
yeah.
The cool video store, and Kim's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I had worked at Blockbuster in my college town and sort of got transferred out here. Would have been 1997. And I worked in a very, like, Puerto Rican... black neighborhood at this Blockbuster, and it was great. But I remember people were fascinated by the fact that I had a red beard but blonde hair, because my hair used to be a lot lighter blonde. Uh-huh. You know,
yeah. It was like blonde when you were younger.
Blonde, yeah. Yeah, like very like Norwegian kid blonde. But then my beard has always been very red. Hmm. And I just remember openly saying, like, you dye your beard? You dye your beard? And I was like, no, this is just how it grows in.
Come on, you dye your beard.
Come on.
Yeah. And now my hair is sort of darkened and sort of caught up to my beard color. It's just, there's a lot less of it.
I wonder, we have to ask Dr. Rome if we ever have him back about how that works. Like, why someone's beard would be one color and their head of hair a different color.
I have noticed that pigment. That it does seem to be more red for blondish people in general.
Mm-hmm. I also want to know about, because my beard is getting, it's pretty gray now and stuff, but I only have like a little bit of gray on the side of my hair. What is the pattern of sort of like
of, where, yeah, the grayness
where your pigmentation just starts to sort of like
pattern of grayness is my new HBO show I'm making.
Mm. I was gonna say that could be your other podcast along with what was it? The scalp emissions? Scalp emissions and patterns of grayness.
Scalp emissions. I'm starting with scalp emissions. The name's too good.
Yeah.
This might be a real dumb question, but do people go balding pube-wise as well?
Alopecia, yeah, because you can
alopecia does, yeah. But no, I think not naturally.
That's not a male pattern thing.
But no. I do think as you age, that stuff thins out, which is great because it all goes gray anyway. So then it becomes basically invisible, kind of.
Yeah, right. you and Carter, you were talking about when you get your first gray pube.
I know, it's such a bummer. It's like, ugh.
That hasn't happened to me yet, thank God.
Yeah, because they just sort of like, I mean, pubes are insane anyway, but these are just like, they're just wires. They're just wires that stick out.
Oh, really? So the gray actually becomes wirier?
Well,
too?
That's it. When you lose pigmentation in your hair, it loses its, I guess it's moisture level or something, but it becomes more dry and more rigid. So that's why
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, so that's why older lady, you know, like they'll get shorter haircuts because it's harder.
I had no idea.
You can't do the sort of like long.
Wow.
Yeah.
Our audience actually learned something this episode.
I hope I'm right. I really do. But
yeah. Yeah. I was wondering that too. Like why grandmas would get their hair set.
Yeah.
And I do feel like gray hair frays, you know, it just becomes a little bit more frayed too. You can't be like long and oily.
Yeah.
But that is like, I'm always fascinated by the people who have like that kind of like insane David Lynch head of hair.
Oh yeah, totally.
That's totally gray, but it also just has a wonderful swoop to it and an elegance and stuff.
Yeah, they're lucky.
They are the chosen ones. God loves them the most.
Those are the best people on
Earth. The best people on Earth. They are the best people.
All aboard talk.
It's a story that captivated the nation.
Two brothers and their sister are on the run from authorities tonight.
Three close-knit siblings known as the Dougherty Gang go on a 15-state crime spree evading police for 8 days.
Police say the trio have a stockpile of weapons.
Dylan, Ryan, and Lee Grace had nothing left to lose.
They're like modern-day Bonnie and Clyde.
Now, for the very first time, exclusive interviews with Doughertys from behind bars.
This call is from a federal prison.
My sister's the crazy one.
I was working at 2 different strip clubs doing a very large amount of drugs.
My brother's the muscle. The last time I spoke to my dad, he told me, look out for your little brother. Something I really took to heart. The youngest is the brain.
How far would you run for your freedom?
There's some things that you just can't take back. You've already started this party. You might as well have fun. And that's what we did.
Listen to The Dougherty Gang every Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everybody, it's time for today's STEM tip. Want to know how to make your selfies even better? Okay, let's use science. The best time for photos is golden hour. That's the moment right before the sun sets, when the atmosphere scatters blue and violet wavelengths, making perfect, soft, and golden selfie light to show off that beautiful face of yours. Click. Check out Chic and STEM for more inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Enrique Santos, co-host of the new podcast, SOS Cuba. As a proud Cubano, it's important for me to use my platform to inform others. That's why I'm teaming up with my friend, Telemundo journalist José Díaz-Balart, for a 6-episode show that explores the anti-government demonstrations in the communist-run island. We're discussing the history of our beloved Cuba, what led to the recent protests, and why people are calling for change. A group of special guests weigh in on what's next for our Comunidad Cubana and what does U.S. involvement look like and why the words Patria y Vida resonate so strongly at this moment.
Patria y Vida! Patria y Vida! Patria y Vida!
Listen to SOS Cuba as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So wait, so I went to ask, with the Found Footage Festival, I mean, you must see a crazy array of humanity in those things. Have you seen, like, what are some great bald types or moments that you've seen in any of the...
Yeah, there was a guy, I think he just recently passed away, named Tim Bogert from Vanilla Fudge. He was the bass player. And he has a video about singing rock and roll music. So he would be like... say May, and he'd be like, May, you know, and he would be like, ah, you know, and he'd have it, teaching students how to do it. It's actually a really helpful video, I think, if you're a rock and roll singer.
Yeah.
But he's the one who kind of has that cotton candy wispy hair at the time with a mustache.
Yeah.
And that's the one where I was like, would I trade heads of hair with him? He has a lot of it, but it's a very weird style.
Yeah. Was he hiding baldness, or was it just...
Yeah, it was getting wispy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he kind of grew it out.
Volume is never...
That doesn't compensate.
Yeah. When you crank up the volume, it just hears the distortion in your baldness.
There was something about the lighting in the 80s, though.
Yeah, totally.
Specifically as captured on VHS, that wasn't great for hair.
No.
For men, it's sort of like it almost had it did look like there was a lot of hair, but it just kind of looked like it smelled like Pert Plus, and it was just kind of like you could almost smell it from off the VHS tape. Yeah, it didn't look good.
Yeah, they would do that key light thing on people's hair.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
It was like, why are you giving
the soap opera style?
Yeah,
the 80s was really into hair for some reason. They were like, it was just like a decade fixated on hair or lack of hair. Like Bruce Willis being bald was like you knew he was bald.
Yeah.
And like Sam Malone, it's like, hands off the hair, you know? It was like a really hair-focused decade for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, we're coming off of the 70s when it was like, and like, I guess, it's, I mean, 60s too, but it was like hair became the celebrated sort of like rebellion thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And it kind of continues. So then it, what is that? So then it becomes like a cocaine-fueled celebration of hair. That's what the 80s was.
Yes. We have a lot of videos for hair products, too, like the Topsy Tail.
What's that?
Or the thing that... The Topsy Tail is like this little piece of plastic that they did an infomercial for, and then it came with a VHS tape when you bought it. But, you know, women with long hair would put this thing in the circle and then tuck it into their hair, and it sort of made a knot, like that would be a ponytail that was tucked into their own hair, so you didn't need a band for it.
Nice.
The crimpers that made shapes in the hair. In,
yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. There was a video we found called Styles on Video, and they did this for men, too. It was almost like glamour shots in the mall. So we found probably 30 of these, and what they would do is take a photo of you and then put it to music and show you what you would look like with different hairstyles. So it'd be like, here's what you'd look like with the Kid and Play hairstyle. Here's what you'd look like with the Burt Reynolds cut, so that you could go then into your salon and they would cut it the way you wanted.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tactical. Smart. How do you find your footage? Like, do you dumpster dive or like how
sometimes like I found a lot of tapes just in my apartment building's trash, you know, that last week I found a suitcase full of VHS and a working VCR.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Wow.
I found one tape in the same trash pile that was on top of a dusty stack of like soccer games taped off TV that was labeled in pencil. Bunion surgery, like hand label, and both bunion and surgery were spelled wrong. Like it was bunion like onion and surgery with ERG. And we were just fascinated as to what was on that tape. It was mostly like Power Rangers episodes, but at the end.
No bunions?
No, nope. There was local public access taped from New Jersey. And then at the very end of this, like 6 hour taped in EP mode, was a Discovery Channel special about bunion surgery that showed it. It actually showed bunion surgery being done.
You just had to really look deep. You had to go watch 6 hours of tape.
Took us a year of going through the tape little by little. But mostly, Brian, it's been at thrift stores. So, you know, we were on the road pre-pandemic. We do about 120 shows a year all around the country. And whenever we're in a new city, we spend the day thrifting and looking for more VHS tapes. And then at night, we go do the show. And, you know, it's a live show featuring the highlights from our VHS tapes and our times we've tracked people down, and we do commentary over the videos and bits based on it. And then since the pandemic and since a lot of the thrift stores aren't accepting VHS anymore, it's been libraries going out of business or like getting rid of their VHS collections. And I guess just since we've been doing the show for 16, 17 years now, people know about it. So about every, I mean, maybe twice a week, we get boxes in the mail with tapes people have found in their hometowns. Yeah.
Wow. I was going to ask if it, like, do you feel like there's going to be a certain point where, I mean, I guess the equivalent is finding weird stuff online, which people do all the time now. You know what I mean? They'll just, everyone will share a video of some bizarre thing that they've seen. But there's like a nostalgia quality to found footage that is because it's, you know, VHS.
Yeah.
It's this very kind of like tactile, physical quality to it and stuff. But
yeah, I mean, the bad tracking and the...
Well,
what I found about it is like, we don't fetishize the format, but it was that moment in time where it was like this format was in the hands of normal people for the first time. Like it took some skill to take a film camera and, you know, run sync sound on it, and but here all of a sudden anybody with an inkling of a bad idea could get a mom and pop production made. You know, Styles on Video was a viable business plan. You know, video dating, and not to mention home movies. And I think because of that, it was sort of the gold rush to like, let's try weird ideas and see what sticks. And there's a lot of amateur production in it. And now everybody is so savvy. I mean, everybody knows they're being broadcast to the world and wants to go viral. So there's not this like charm or naivete about it. It's hard to recreate that.
Yeah, and the quality of it too. Like they built in our building in so many sort of like safeguards. Whereas like, I don't know how to light this. Don't worry, the camera, you know, the phone will do it.
I got to say, the one, you know, we our complete business model of being a touring like comedy show kind of went out the window when we couldn't. We had 100 dates canceled last year.
That
but
sucks. Ooh,
yeah.
Sorry,
but
man.
The one thing that's sort of been a great discovery about this, talking about new ways to discover material, is we realized that people have videos that are labeled IMG, like 0209, for example, any four numbers. And then if you type IMG and then any four numbers into YouTube, dozens and dozens of results will come up that are accidentally uploaded because your phone or your camera just creates that as a default, you know, IMG is like image.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so these are things that weren't meant to be uploaded or weren't even considered worth putting a title on. So they're like videos that have maybe one, sometimes zero views. And in some ways, that feels like finding something at a thrift store. It kind of has that same thrill of the hunt that we would get in, like, you know, blowing the dust off these tapes on a high-up shelf somewhere at a Goodwill.
Oh, that's cool.
I guess that is the equivalent of, like, the access to someone's sort of, like, private phone files is, like, finding their private VHS tape.
It felt like that. Yeah, we recently did a special on YouTube called America's Funniest IMGs, and it was all just the best ones we found in the last year. And like somebody made a watercolor painting of one of the IMGs we found. It's sort of like taken off this life on its own. So I think, you know, we have 11,000 videos that we've barely made a dent in.
Wow.
In our office in Brooklyn, you know, we're doing YouTube shows every, like, we're doing four a week now to try to get through and watch as many tapes as we can, you know, but we've still barely made a dent. So even if we, you know, don't find any new tapes in the next 10 years, we'll still have material. It was just so many weird videos, and we don't even collect movies. These are just special interest tapes, exercise, training, home movies that ended up in camcorders sold at Goodwills, you know, things like that.
I wanted to share a story that happened to me when I was living in New York too. And I had a friend who did the same thing. He would just find weird videotapes and cut together just like sort of like mashups, you know, a bit like a mixtape of just and just like little moments. And it was interesting because some of the stuff that he had on there were a couple of the guys ended up being on Tim and Eric Awesome Show. You know, they would sort of find these outsider, you know, video guys.
Weirdos.
And kind of bring them into the fold. Yeah, weirdos. Let's just say that. So it had a couple of those weirdos like, oh, I know those guys. But he was having a party at his house one time, and everybody knew he had these tapes and stuff. And so there was just a tape sitting in his VHS, and somebody said, oh, cool. Eric's got a thing. Let's pop it in. Popped it in, and without getting too graphic, it turns out it was a porno, but like a really hyper disgusting porno, German based hyper disgusting. Oh.
It all comes back to Germany.
Yeah, that involves scatological stuff.
Don't leave that out at a party.
Yeah, and so somebody's like, "Oh my god!" And everybody ran into the room, and so this thing started that involved like someone on the floor and a tarp and all this kind of stuff. And everybody's like, oh, my God, turn it off. And then more people came in. I was like, turn it off, turn it off. And so as the crowd built, no one was turning it off, and the video kept playing.
Oh, my God.
It just kept playing. And so it went from, like, four people to 10 people to, you know, all 30 people at the party just in this room, like, screaming, like, someone turn it off. And it just kept playing and getting worse and more traumatizing. And then finally somebody was like, oh, my God. It turned it off. And there was, like, a moment of silence, and everybody was like, all right, thanks, bye. And everybody left.
Oh,
the party was instantly over because nobody could talk to each other. Nobody could deal with it. It was such an insane.
That's a really weird shared experience.
I bet everyone has that same story. Everyone remembers that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, totally. You
know? You
should try and get all 30 people back together for a show.
A reunion?
Yeah, totally. Some of them are like, you know what? It opened up some doors for me. Now I've got this whole new practice.
I realized I like German dark porn.
Yeah.
It's so, I mean, that is the one thing, like, doing the online shows that isn't quite the same. Is like we try to sort of recreate that communal experience of, like, you know, I'm sure we did this, Charlie, when you and Colton lived in Astoria or something. Like, maybe you'd come over and we'd just pop in a funny video we would find and you just sit there and make jokes about
it. Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
And if nothing else, we try to sort of recreate that being in a room and, you know, just sort of watching, sort of celebrating these weird videos that you feel like you're the only person who found it. You can't wait to show it to your,
your
buddies.
I miss that a lot.
I know, like, we've become friendly with David Cross, who was another big video collector. And, you know, I think they even did Mr. Show sketches about, you know, weird tape traded videos.
Totally,
and,
we've
traded videos with David. And I remember we were on some comedy showcase show and Janine Garofalo was on the bill and we got to meet her. And we were talking about how David gave us this video dating tape of from 1987 that he'd gotten, I think, from an editor friend and from California. And it was like they made this, men would make pitches that, like, 90 seconds they had to woo women in this tape. And it was so great. We made an edit of it and, you know, became a big hit in our shows and have since met some of the guys and stuff. And Janine's like, yes, David made that on a compilation tape, and at the very end, he just put the R. Bud Dwyer suicide at the end, and I've never forgiven him for that.
Oh, my God.
That's
you know, the guy who shot himself live on TV, like David Cross, just he made a tape-traded compilation that was, funny, video dating guys, and then would just ambush friends with
so
that
horrible.
At the end of it.
Oh, my God. That's insane.
It took a dark turn, again, like the German porno, you know, but Janine Garofalo had never forgotten that.
It's really tough to erase some things that you have seen, but I think the best quality of, like, the stuff you guys put up, it has that thing of people earnestly doing what they think is, like, the best quality production,
the best thing they can do.
They really the best ones to me always have that thing. I'm just like, it's almost like, you ever seen that movie, American Movie.
American Movie, one of my favorites of all time.
Just that you end up, like, rooting for them so much, even as part of it is sort of like, oh my God, I can't believe how hokey and sort of half-assed this is. But by the end of it, you're like, yeah, they did it.
It's both. So the best videos have a real pathos behind them. And I think whenever we've met people in the videos, we do try to track down the people whenever we can. I think sometimes they start off skeptical because they've seen these videos blow up online and have people just in the
rip
least.
On them.
And it's like the. And even TV shows, like, there was one on E! That was just like a crass, like, you know, like a Talk Soup but less witty version where it's like shooting fish in a barrel to say, oh, this guy's not good at videotaping himself.
Right.
You know, like, but I think, like, the tone in the best videos, you really do empathize with the people and they're like, and most people, I think, have a sense of humor about, look at this video from 30, 40 years ago now.
Yeah,
right.
And they're like, they're not going to defend their hairstyle, you know. they're like, oh my God, I can't believe I was wearing this blouse or, you know, whatever it was. And they have fun with it as well. So
I wonder if that's the difference between something like what you guys do and then the immediacy of having a phone, you know, taping something, uploading it, and then immediate feedback. You know, somebody doesn't have the opportunity to have some distance from it.
Right, right.
You know.
That's a good point. And I think for us, it's like we physically found these videos. We've worked to find them. We're not just going to dismiss them. We have a genuine love and affection for these tapes. So, we're lavishing them with far more attention than they probably deserve even, you know. And there's a difference, I think, between it's coming from a good place, you know. Everybody has some videotape skeletons in their closets. But, and the thing I hate the most is, like, this even sometimes happens at our merch table after a show, is people come up and be like, check this video out. It's me and my buddies. We were super drunk in our dorm and we got into a fight and they're showing it on your phone.
Yeah.
It's not fun to watch somebody's phone where you're just trying to hear something, a viral video they found on a tinny speaker.
Check this out. I can make a noise with my penis.
Yeah.
Not the right way. And I feel like when the pandemic is over and we can do live shows again, you guys have to do a Bald Talk live show.
Oh, that would be great.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love
and
to.
We could come on and do, you know, a celebration of hairstyles, a video segment.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, we should do that. I love that idea.
Oh, man. Another reason for the pandemic to end. Like, I was kind of getting into it, but now let's end
now,
it.
Yeah, let's wrap this thing.
I love that.
So, Nick, let's talk about your show, Shatterday Morning Cartoons, which I was a guest on. You watch old cartoons from the 80s and eat breakfast cereal and just kind of like comment on the episodes. Is that a good description of it?
Yeah, that's it. That's all there is to it. It's like we realized we had a lot of these cartoons from the 80s and 90s on VHS. And I think pandemic, I mean, all I've been doing is watching old movies. I've just kind of felt like wanting to have that
the comfort
warm sort of comfort food for programming.
Anything where people walk around to buildings and in and out of places?
Yeah. I don't know why I retreated into nostalgia, but even more so than I normally do. But most recently we watched a cartoon called Dino Riders, which I never watched growing up, but it was a 1988 cartoon to sell toys where there were guns that shot lasers on dinosaurs.
Oh, I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we had a dinosaur expert on, and we watched Dino Riders.
That's amazing.
And, we had Charlie on because Charlie and I played Dungeons & Dragons together, and we watched the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon, which I think is the one cartoon we've done that is actually a good cartoon.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad, actually. It did kind of hold up. One of the main, not the main characters of the series, but sort of the main protagonist of that episode was Bald.
Was he a wizard?
A wizardy kind of sorcerer guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I picture like a, and that could be a look for you, Nick, like if you wanted to go and grow out your beard long, pointy, sort of robe it up.
Yes.
Get a red robe.
The Dungeon Master did have long white ring was balding and wore a red robe.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulled it off. He kind of had the Wallace Shawn look to him.
Yes, totally.
And he pulled it off. He had a lot of confidence.
Yeah,
Charlie.
That's all you need, even if you're a little wizard guy.
Yeah, I do think it, like, in terms of like going back to what you're asking about, like how to sort of pull things off, is like if you wearing a robe and being bald, the more the focus is going to go to the robe.
So,
right. Like maybe just have a ferret on my shoulder at all times or something, or a cloak of some sort. That's not a bad idea. A visual trick.
Yeah, it's just accessorizing yourself.
Yeah. This show has been supremely helpful, though, in listening to other people's stories and, talking about male insecurity, I think it does have its place.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. It's been fun to do. It's also been like, oh, man, it's good to unpack just the experience we're going through.
Yeah, it's weirdly become like a journal of the pandemic.
Yeah, I know. And like, Harry, you find yourself running out of bald topics, or is each person's story different, or will the podcast evolve?
We will not let it evolve.
We refuse to grow.
Yeah,
okay, that's what I was hoping you were going
to
say.
Like our hairline, we want it to recede and sort of just like...
Because I'm nostalgic for the early episodes of Bald Pop.
You're already thinking back to Paul Scheer and Karamo.
Yeah, just keep it in that comfort zone,
We're going to try and keep it bald people for as long as we can, and then we'll see what happens when we run out of bald people.
Yeah.
But then sky's the limit. I mean, movie, live show...
Yep.
Theme park, book. action figures,
mm-hmm. Flip-flops with our face on it.
Probably the first thing. We should come up with our own line of vodka before anything
else. Oh, that's
that
number one.
That seems to be the first one.
You and your rich podcasting friends. Yeah.
Tequila or something.
Then there'll be an entourage-like show about us doing this podcast.
Yeah. I think I might go to medical school and, become a dermatologist or, like Dr. Rome.
Oh, yeah.
Just for the podcast. I mean,
that's great.
Yeah. And then we just each episode me studying on the mic. You can ask me questions.
That sounds really interesting.
Really interesting.
That is the next natural place for it to go. Yeah. What about for the name of the vodka, Dos Balditos?
Oh, that's good. Dos Balditos. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know vodka probably isn't typically from Mexico, but still.
Yeah, we're sort of.
Ours will be.
That's the trend, right?
Is it tequila? No, it's vodka. Okay. I get it. Well, Nick, I'm really happy that this has been a, it is honestly really cool to hear somebody say like, oh, are you really actually kind of got to me, so
I don't talk about it. I mean,
no, we don't.
Yeah. Really don't, you don't. I never talk about anything even slightly personal or serious with friends, so yeah. It's instantly into some sort of board game or Dungeons and Dragons, so it's cathartic.
Yeah, it cool. is. I'm glad you like it, and thanks for being on, man. You were great.
Thanks for having me.
Great to see you.
Yeah, likewise.
Stay strong and shave it off, I think.
I think that might be the move.
Let us know if you do it, and maybe we'll have you back on to talk about the experience.
Yeah.
All right, I'll keep you posted.
That'd be great.
All right, Baldies and Harrows, everybody out there that's listening to Bald Talk, thank you for listening. Please follow us on Instagram at Bald Talk Pod, and remember to download us from iHeartRadio, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. Download, rate, review, listen, enjoy. Thank you.
And then after you've done all that stuff, go over to Twitter where we all are Bald Talk Podcast. That is Bald Talk Podcast on Twitter, where we will post probably the same stuff we put on Instagram.
Either one's
really.
Fine.
Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
life is unfair when you lose all your hair. But now you've got someone to talk to. Brian and Charlie have a hairless party. They are all there to invite you. No hairdos, no shampoos, interviews, only on Bald Talk.
Peace to the planet. I go by the name of Charlemagne the God. My mama calls me Lenard McKelvey. See, I thought I just had a face for radio, and some good white people at Comedy Central gave me a new TV show called The God's Honest Truth. Won't God do it? And you know they couldn't contain my blessed, black, and highly favored ass to just 30 minutes once a week. Nope, I'm delivering extended sermons straight into your ears like a dollar store Q-tip. Plus, the check already cleared so I can say whatever the hell I want. Like, cracker ass cracker. See? Listen to The God's Honest Truth on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I am Rashawn McDonald, the host of Money Making Conversations podcast. Yes, I speak to celebrity CEOs and industry leaders, and yes, they do tell me the secrets to their success. And I help secure amazing guests on my show because I got relationships, including Tyler Perry, Stephen A. Smith, Lonnie Love, Cedric the Entertainer, Patti LaBelle, Nick Cannon, Angela Yee, and many more. This is Rashawn McDonald. Listen to Money Making Conversations on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Khalil Gibran Muhammad.
And I'm Ben Austin. We're two best friends.
One black.
One white.
I'm a historian.
And I'm a journalist.
And this is Some of My Best Friends Are. As in, I'm not a racist. Some of my best friends are. Dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot. In this show, we wrestle with the challenges.
And the absurdities.
Of a deeply divided and unequal country.
Listen to Some of My Best Friends Are.
On the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.